This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire residents pay among the nation's highest rates for health insurance, and one reason often cited is a lack of competition. The Granite State only has a few insurers selling policies here, and so the argument goes there's little market pressure to bring costs down. Now, though, a new state Senate effort aims to change that. The proposal would allow insurers to offer what are sometimes called bare-bones policies or mini-medical plans. These would provide basic coverage, but not many extras. They'd be cheaper than traditional health insurance because they'd be exempt from many state mandates, which currently require all insurers to cover a long list of medical services. Nationwide, these no-frills plans are catching on as employers struggle to provide health insurance for workers. They see these low-cost options as a way to offer at least a basic level of coverage. But in some states where they've been introduced, they've received mixed reviews. There's debate over how much money really is saved, and critics say this approach may create a race to the bottom, encouraging all insurers to reduce the scope of their coverage. Today in The Exchange, the mini medical market and whether New Hampshire should dive in. Join us. How does this idea sound to you, especially if you're uninsured or if you're an employer struggling to provide insurance for your workers? Would limited benefit plans bring more choice to Granite Staters, meaning more people covered? Or would these insurance products hurt the quality of the health care we have now? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. With me in studio, Andy Sanborn, Republican State Senator from Henniker, who's been talking about these alternative health insurance plans. And Senator Sanborn, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me on today.
Also with us, Lisa Kaplan Howe, Policy Director of New Hampshire Voices for Health, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding access to affordable health care. And Lisa, good to see you. Thank you for coming back in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and let's back up, both of you, if we could, just for a few minutes and talk about the system we have now. Lisa, to you. So what does the state say that all health insurers must include in their coverage? I've been told it's a pretty long, multi-page list.
So, you know, there's two ways to look at requirements. There's both services that need to be covered, but also the way that insurance companies need to treat the people who are purchasing their insurance. So focusing on the services, there's a list. You know, it's interesting the way our law is laid out, which we certainly don't want to get into today. It's a duplicative list because we have the insurance statutes for individual coverage and for group coverage. So it looks like a much more lengthy list than it is, but it includes things like services and treatment for diabetes, bone marrow transplants, mammography, early intervention services for kids, hearing aids. So a range of services that really a range of people in our state will need access to. And unfortunately, none of us know if we'll need access to until that time comes.
Well, and you're getting to it, but I want to ask you, Lisa, so what's the thinking behind these mandates? It seems to me that every couple years somebody else proposes a mandate. There's a big debate over whether this should be included or not. So what's the idea behind this list that insurers have to include in their policies?
So really two ideas. One is to make sure people are getting good value for their premium dollars. So if you're paying for a service, you want to make sure that it's getting you what you want. And when it comes to health insurance, that means access to the health care that you need. You don't want to have to pay out of pocket for services when you're paying for a premium too. But also making sure, number one, that we're pooling the risk so that we have both people who need the services and don't need the services in the pool. That's the idea of insurance, whether it's health insurance or car insurance or homeowners insurance. And also that insurance is there for you and is protecting you from unforeseen needs. Because unfortunately, I don't know if in a year from now, a month from now, I'm going to develop diabetes or cancer. And right now I could say I don't need those services. But in a month from now, if I do need the services, I certainly want to make sure I have access to them.
And Senator Sanborn, what's the problem with these mandates?
You know, it's not necessarily even the problem with the mandates, Laura. It's we need to consider the pool itself. And as Lisa had alluded to, starting at the 100,000-foot level, insurance is about pooling a bunch of people together. And if you remember, you know, 20 or 25 years ago when I started my first business in New Hampshire, there were 22 separate health insurance companies competing for my trust in my business.
Just in this little state,
just in New Hampshire.
Health insurance companies.
And today we essentially have 2.5. So it's a multi-tiered challenge. On one part, we have the number of companies operating. Secondarily to that, we do talk about service mandates. Now, New Hampshire today has what we call, and we talk about, as Lisa said, service mandates, which are truly bariatric surgery, hearing aids, you know, true medical assistance. And we have 43 of those in New Hampshire. It makes us the sixth largest or highest in America today. Now, we can
in terms of mandates.
And in terms of how many mandates we have. So we can sure talk about whether or not we should be mandating and how much mandate is appropriate to, compared to the rest of the country. But even we get back to that whole pool question, one of the biggest challenges to me, I mean, the most important thing we have today, everyone needs a job, a comfortable, reasonable job with the confidence they're going to have it. I think we all agree that the number two issue we have today is insurance. So what my fear and concern is, being a business owner whose insurance went up 38% last year, 17% this year, we talk about that pool and what's what we'll call a little later in the show, adverse selection. The pool continues to get smaller. There's less and less people today that can afford insurance. And part of what we'll talk about with this legislation is we understand there's mandates, and this legislation really threads a fine needle, which, again, we'll get into in detail. So do we have that need? What's the biggest need? Getting more people to have insurance, or just making it so expensive, more and more people fall off the back and the pool actually gets smaller?
What happened to those 22 insurers that used to operate in New Hampshire? I'm stunned by that number.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something that has truly challenged me as a business owner and now, frankly, as a politician, because health insurance is a big part of what I ran for. Being a business owner who is always provided insurance for their employees. So many of us are reaching that part where we don't have the availability to it or we can't afford it. You know, it's just through time, the requirements, the other mandates, non-service one, you know, the requirements to do business in this state have made it less competitive and less profitable for these companies. So the regulations are up, the profits are down. And at some point they look, because it's America, it's free market. And they say, you know, we can make more money and do a better service in other states. And New Hampshire's small enough and we're just going to pull out.
And again, we will talk in just a moment about the introduction of mini medical or limited benefit. But I want to get on this idea again of mandates. So Lisa, has anybody added up how much these 43 some odd mandates add to the cost of health coverage in New Hampshire? As you well know, our costs are among the highest in the nation.
Sure. And I agree that that is a huge problem here in New Hampshire, both for businesses and families, and something that we need to address, and certainly commend Senator Sanborn and his colleagues for looking into that. I do want to again reiterate that when you're looking at a list of 43, you're looking at somewhat a duplicative list. So if you kind of pare down to the just listing each mandate one time, it's more around 18. I don't think anybody's in New Hampshire added up the full cost. Certainly one by one, there's been some evidence. And what we saw when as mandates get passed is there's typically some data that's called and information that comes in about the cost of those individual mandates. What we've seen at a nationwide level is that the National Association of Insurance Commissioners looked at the high end, the states with the most mandates. The cost in total is at most 5% of premiums. So if you say for a family plan, it's $1,000 a month for a premium, that's about $50. So certainly a cost, but when you're looking at the full cost, I don't think it's as meaningful as many other costs that we could start addressing are.
And you and I have had many conversations in the past with others about why medical care and health insurance is so expensive, whether it's insurance company profits, whether it's the fee-for-service system, and so forth.
And it's all of those.
Yeah. So, Senator Sanborn, so let's get into it. Explain what you're trying to do, offering plans that would not have to follow as many of these mandates, these sort of bare bones, mini medical, whatever you want to call them. What are you trying to do here?
Well, Lauren, actually, you know, this really comes down to trying to thread the needle of a number of different issues we have to deal with. We have to deal with consumer protection. We have to deal with a fairness, because we have some insurance companies in New Hampshire today, and we want to make sure that they can compete on an even playing field. We have to deal with mandates, and they exist. And for some people, like me, I mean, you guys know that I've had a lot of health issues, and I'm an older guy. So I would be a guy that probably wouldn't run down to a stripped-down version of insurance. So how do we find that way that we can, you know, bring all the stakeholders together and make something work, or try to make something work? Because the worst thing we can do is continue to do nothing. So what this plan really does is, let's start again at that 100,000-foot level, that we're trying to expand the pool, make insurance available to more people. We need to recognize that in, when I talk about insurance, you know, my analogies tend to be the Cadillac plan versus the Pinto plan. You've got plans with all the mandates, with everything that a, you know, an old, out-of-shape, sick guy like me might want. But my employees at 23 years old who think they're going to live forever just want that catastrophic plan.
Just so, in case they get in a car accident or something.
Get in a car accident, they fall hiking or skiing or snowboarding or whatever happens. So what we have tried to do is make a plan that brings all these issues together. So our first attempt, which is the first piece of legislation which has failed, and frankly, you know, some of these issues that we have, we kind of have to vet them out, was just to say, if you're an out-of-state company, you can come to New Hampshire and you don't have to comply with our mandates and you can just operate. I don't support that. Obviously, since we failed on it, none of us really support it, but it started the conversation. So for me, it started saying, let's take a deeper look at what we need to do. So I believe that in order to maintain consumer protections, that's important to people, that any company that does business in New Hampshire needs to have a license. So that gets us over into our New Hampshire Department of Insurance. They're great people. Alex might come on today. So that gives us the consumer protections. That also means anyone that comes back to New Hampshire or operates in New Hampshire has to sell every mandate. So my thought was, let's make a new plan, which we're calling Plan L. And Plan L essentially says a potentially light plan that says if you come to our state and offer insurance, you can offer a plan that has less mandates. Doesn't mean zero. Doesn't mean all 43 or 18, depending upon how you count. But you can operate something down the chain. But the caveat is you also are required under this plan to also offer a plan that has every mandate. So to me, this gives us a number of things. Let's us look for the first time to truly see the cost of mandates, not on an intellectual level, but physically. Because if you have a cafeteria plan and say this plan doesn't have hearing aids, there will truly be a number for it. So we can protect all those that have mandates and want them and still produce a plan that people who might not want them don't get them. So I'd really believe it helps to expand the pool to avoid that adverse selection.
Real quick, Lisa, because we got to go to a break. What do you think about these mini medical plans or strip down plans?
Sure. I think there are two challenges. One is that, unfortunately, I think what we're going to see is that it doesn't lower premiums for people. What ends up happening is that you have somewhat lower, you know, around maybe, you know, the example I gave earlier was $50 a month for people who want the stripped down plans. But then, unfortunately, as a result, the cost of the comprehensive plans is going to go up either even higher because of, you know, as Senator Sanborn mentioned earlier, adverse selection, and you're really segmenting the market. And also, as you know, similarly to that, you're going to see less choice for people because all of a sudden they're going to have less access to the comprehensive plans, and the comprehensive plans are going to become less sustainable. So I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of unintended consequences that's really going to impact our comprehensive coverage that we have currently in the state.
Well, lots to follow up on, and we will follow up after a short break, and we'll take your calls too at 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
I'm Bill Martell. I live in Bedford, New Hampshire, and I'm a frequent guest on the Exchange with Laura Kanoy. My view has always been that the callers are warmly welcomed and encouraged to call on the show and to ask questions, on occasion to have follow-up questions. And I think that reflects how open and engaging the show is, and so welcoming of people calling in with their ideas and trying to push both the guests on the show as well as Laura in terms of issues that ought to be discussed and examined as part of the show.
And you can support the Exchange right now with your phone call to 1-888-805-6477 or your visit to our website, nhpr.org. Good morning, I'm Brady Carlson here with Rebecca Lavoie during our March Fund Drive, and we have a challenge in front of us. A group of generous donors from the Upper Valley put a challenge on the table to us on Saturday, which we didn't quite make, but they've decided to give us a second chance to put $5,000 additional dollars to work for programs like the Exchange. And on our $20,000 goal, Rebecca, now just $7,600 left to go. So some serious momentum being built up by listeners across the state, thanks to each and every one of you. But we only have till noon to wrap up this challenge and make the goal. So your call right now can make a big, big difference.
And the number to call is 1 1-888-805-6477. Think about how much you rely on the exchange. Maybe you don't even realize it, but how do you feel when the exchange broadcasts a rerun? You know, maybe a little disappointed that you can't call in that day and chime in. Think about whether or not you would recognize the exchange theme if you even heard it out of context. Or maybe you've run into Laura Kanoi out and about at the gym or the grocery store and you didn't know what Laura looked like, but you heard that distinctive voice, one of the most distinctive voices in radio, and you felt like you'd run into an old friend. If any of this sounds familiar, well, then guess what? You're an exchange listener and your morning would not be the same if it weren't on the air. So how about giving it some support with your call? 1-888-805-6477. You can also support the exchange online at nhpr.org.
And true to its name, the exchange is a two-way street. You rely on the program to keep you informed, but the exchange relies on you to help keep it strong, to make sure the resources are there so that Laura and her producers can do what they do so well, to bring you those compelling conversations. So your $100 contribution or your $100 or $150 contribution makes a big difference. It goes a long way towards supporting this program that helps us stay on top of New Hampshire news. Call and support it now at 1-888-805-6477.
And when we do make this challenge, your contribution will be worth 25% more, because when we make $20,000 by noon, we'll get an additional $5,000. But what the other thing that's in it for you today, everybody who donates today will be eligible to win our drawing for a brand new MacBook Pro. This is the newest, latest, and greatest laptop from Apple with the newest operating system, Lion, which makes the laptop look and feel a little more like an iPad, an incredible display, a long battery life. It's a laptop that, quite frankly, will make your friends and neighbors a little bit jealous. But you can only win one if you give us a call, 1-888-805-6477. You can also donate and enter online at nhpr.org.
Tomorrow, your support would be great, but today, your support would be even better. Not only because we have this drawing for the MacBook Pro, and that's a good thing to potentially win, but because there's a challenge in front of us. And that $5,000 additional dollars could help the exchange continue to bring you great conversations every single day. An update now on the challenge, just $7,300 left to go. That is absolutely fantastic. We're building some momentum. The NHPR community is coming through again. If you haven't been a member or it's time to renew your membership, give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 and join that momentum on this challenge.
Because of that challenge, we have $7,300 left to go. Your gift this morning is worth more. Your $35 gift is worth $43. Your $100 gift is worth $125. If you join at our leadership circle level, your $1,000 gift is worth $1,200. But that's only if we make this challenge. Help us out. 1-888-805-6477. And thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Waste Management. With a reminder, new energy-efficient CFL bulbs contain mercury and need to be recycled properly. Details on bulb recycling at thinkgreenfromhome.com. And from the New Hampshire Dental Society, whose members work every day to improve oral health and access to dental care across New Hampshire. Information at nhds.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoi. Today in The Exchange, health insurance mandates and whether the state should allow insurers to offer plans with fewer services covered. Let's hear from you, 1-800-892-6477, or email us, exchange@nhpr.org. We go now to Alex Feldwebel. He's Deputy Commissioner of the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And Alex, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Laura.
Well, we've been talking about these mini medical or limited benefit plans, whether they should come into the state. Other states have tried these. These are a fast-growing segment. What would they add, Alex, to the state's current mix of insurance policies?
Well, the idea is to add a new option for coverage that's more affordable by getting rid of coverages that might be considered extras. So that's the essence of it.
Do you think that there are a lot of people, Alex, who might go from being uninsured to being insured if there were more lower-cost plans available? What do you think?
Well, the data on the price savings that you need to offer in order to draw a lot of people into the market that are currently uninsured show that you need a pretty large price reduction to do that. I think you would get new people in the market, But one of the issues is if you are segmenting the market in between plans that are subject to mandates and plans that are not, then at the same time you may be drawing some new people into the market who would be attracted to the mandate light coverage. You, at the same time, would likely be forcing some people out of the market who need the mandate complete coverage. So it's not clear what the overall effect would be in terms of access to coverage.
What would your role be at the insurance department, Alex, in keeping an eye on these new plans in terms of making sure that there's fair play for insurers and that consumers are protected?
Well, we're trying to support the public discussion. It's up to the legislature as policymakers to determine the rules for the market. And so we're trying to develop information on really two things, on the market dynamics. If you push this button, what effect will it have? And an example is the dynamic I just mentioned to you, the cost shifting that can occur between different market segments if you create them. And we're also doing a lot of research. We've commissioned some experts to look at cost drivers for health insurance to provide better information for policymakers about why premiums are going up and why other things are going on in the market, or what other things are going on. And let me give you an example, I think, of something that's pretty interesting. It's in a report that the insurance department will come out with soon. And that's our first annual report on health insurance cost drivers. And we looked at the period between 2009 and 2010 and found that the premium rate for coverage, keeping coverage the same, went up by 14.3% in that period, but what people paid for coverage only went up by 2.6%, and that's because people decided to buy less coverage. In other words, the insurance industry talks about it as buying down. What they did is opt for plans that have higher deductibles and cost sharing, and they did it in a dramatic way, so that the value of their coverage actually went down by 10% in that 1 year. And so, you know, we talk about the total extra cost of mandates being at most about 5% of premium. What we've already got is a phenomenon where consumers, by opting for higher deductibles and cost sharing, have already bought down.
So we're already moving in this direction.
That right. And that's, I think, an interesting fact that's very relevant to this discussion. And that's the kind of information the insurance department is developing now. And we will be putting it out, that information out, so the policymakers will be able to have that as they make these decisions.
All right. Alex, I know you're on a limited time schedule, so I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Alex Fell-Vabel, again, Deputy Commissioner of the New Hampshire Insurance Department. Join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. As we look at these mini medical plans, these limited benefit plans, how does this idea sound to you? If you're uninsured or you're a business struggling to provide health insurance for your workers, does it sound like a good idea, bringing more choice, lower cost? Or are you worried that these mini medical products might hurt the quality of the health care we have right now in the Granite State? Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. My guests in studio are Senator Andy Sanborn, Republican from Henniker, and Lisa Kaplan Howe, Policy Director of New Hampshire Voices for Health. And Senator Sanborn, Lisa, before we go to the phones, I did want to follow up on some conversation we had earlier and also on what Alex told us. And Lisa, to you first, what about this idea of segmenting the market between different types of coverage? I know you have some thoughts there.
Yeah, I think that creates a real challenge in the market. The idea with insurance is that you're pooling everybody together.
Healthy, sick, old, young.
Right. And that's that's the reason why with all types of insurance, we don't have a cafeteria style, you know, I want this coverage but not this coverage, because it doesn't work that way. If you only have the people who need insurance buying it or needing a type of service buying it, it's going to be astronomically expensive. And an example that came out at the hearing on Senate Bill 150, which is the underlying bill that Senator Sanborn mentioned, is maternity coverage. In the individual market today, that's an option. So people can purchase it as a rider. And if you look at the cost of the rider, you are basically prepaying, you're on a payment plan for labor and delivery. In total, it's going to cost about $8,000 to $10,000 a year, which if you just, you know, got your prenatal care and went to the hospital and got the bill, that's what it would be. And so that's a real challenge, you know, and the other piece of it is once you segment that out, you've got the comprehensive coverage becoming much more expensive. And as Alex said, then you've got a whole segment of the population who needs access to health care, would like to purchase insurance. The insurance they can afford isn't going to give them what they need, so they're left without any options.
What do you think, Senator Sandberg? Can you talk about this pool idea? You talked earlier about the difference between you and, you know, older, and you said not very healthy, and then your young 20-something, you know, guys who work for you at the draft downtown Concord. You know, what about that idea that, well, you know, it becomes more expensive for you because you have to buy the comprehensive?
And Laura, there are so many things that make it more expensive, and we have to consider this is a very, very complex equation, because we also haven't talked about the fact that, remember, we're only talking about small business owners in New Hampshire, because today, if you have more than 50 employees, you're exempt from mandates. If you're a self-funded plan, if you're the state of New Hampshire or a political subdivision, you are exempt from mandates. So when we talk about fairness, we are specifically looking at the small business owners and the individual people to carry on their backs the most expensive, most difficult insurance in New Hampshire. So when we start talking about splitting off and pooling and, well, again, this adverse selection with less people in the pool makes expensive, we're doing it at such a high level today because if you have a good lobbyist, because you're a big company, you don't have to comply. So it's very difficult for me to talk and support, you know, this mandate issue, and it's not a fairness that everyone's all in or everyone's all out. So specifically when we talk about the pool, and Lisa's absolutely right, if less people are in the pool, it's going to drive costs up. So we're actually both talking about the same issue, but from slightly different avenues. Lisa wants to get everyone in the pool at the highest rate so everything's consistent. Everyone can only drink Coca-Cola, right? That's kind of what we're talking about here. Everyone's got to drink Coke. That way we keep Coke at one price. And what I say is we need more people at the bottom of the pool, more people overall before we begin to worry about this specific selection of one pool or the other, because there's more people falling off than there are people coming on. So at the end of the day, the pool in its aggregate continues to get smaller, which will make policies more expensive. You know, going back to Alex's case where he sees prices coming down for insurance, he's right at some level. I get my insurance quote. I pay, I think, $1,700 a month for my insurance. My insurance company comes in and says, we're going up 38%, Andy. I turn to my wife and my employees and say, guys, we can't afford this. The only way we can afford this is I now need to increase my deductible from $5,000 to $10,000.
That's a huge deductible.
Huge. So although my policy at that point might not go from, you know, $1,700 to $2,200, now it's going to go from $1,700 to $1,800, but I'm now spending an extra $1,000 a month, $1,000 or $10,000 on the deductible. So again, we need to look at the entire equation.
Lisa, do you want to jump in real quick, and then I want to bring our listeners in with phone calls and Facebook comments and emails.
Sure. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one point. Large group insurance, if it's fully insured in the state, is subject to mandates. But Senator Sanborn's right that large employers may be more able and likely to self-insure. But the interesting piece is that you have large group insurance plans subject to mandates, and yet their premiums are significantly lower. And that's because there are other ways that they achieve those cost savings. And so, you know, it's coming back to the, yes, we need to solve this problem. We need to get more people into the market. But is this the best way to go about it? In part because of the value question. And the same problem, when deductibles get very high, you're spending almost as much or maybe more money on deductibles as you are on premiums. Same with if you're seeing gaps in your coverage, you're spending as much money on filling those gaps out of pocket as you are on your premium.
Well, again, our number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. You can also send us an email or join us on Facebook. And here's a Facebook comment from Laura. She says, sounds like a great idea to provide more choices. Most health insurance plans have long ago stopped being insurance. With no consumer responsibility for many costs, increased mandates and coverage of routine screenings, they are more like pre-funded medical treatment plans and less like insurance. Laura says the example you give of forcing all to pay premiums for coverage of treatment for a condition where they have no risk will assure that costs for these services will remain high and will continue to raise the cost of everyone's insurance. She concludes by saying it's about time we once again had the choice to purchase pure insurance. You touched on this earlier, Lisa. Do you want to jump in, Senator Sanborn, too, on Laura's comment?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, Laura and Lisa, we could have an entire show on maintenance versus repair. Again, I often use that car analogy. You know, when we buy a car, we have to pay to maintain it. We have to get the oil changed at our expense. We need to change the tires at our expense. So much of health insurance today is that maintenance portion. And again, we can have that discussion, and it's a great discussion to have.
The preventative stuff.
That preventative stuff, does it keep costs down in the long term? Some say yes, some say no. So should insurance be for the repair, or should it be for the maintenance? And I think that's a big part of that point. And, you know, I'm not sure we have time this week to go all the way into that one.
All right, let's take a call. And this is Jill in Peterborough. Hi, Jill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, Jill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm a former state rep, and when I was the rep, I was able to buy into the state employees plan. In private life, I'm a sole proprietor, self-employed. And I, for years, I was doing just what the commissioner described of buying down on my insurance until finally I couldn't afford it anymore once I got into my late 50s. I was constantly paying more and more every year for less and less coverage, higher and higher deductibles, like, you know, $2,500, $5,000 deductibles. On the state employees plan, I have a maximum out-of-pocket of $750 a year. And every year I've been on the plan, we have had at least 1 month where we had a partial or greater premium holiday because of the way the plan had been managed. Now, we have in this state a public option for doctors to buy malpractice that's been in place for 30 years, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle a few years ago because the governor wanted to use the reserve, which was what
I remember. Let's not get into that, Jill. That's a huge issue. Okay. Go ahead. Make your point about these mini medical plans that we're talking about, please.
Pardon?
Please make your point or your thought on these medical plans that we're talking about today.
Parceling out what is covered is pointless. The state employees plan is already doing a very effective job of covering everybody for everything and being cost effective. The premium I pay into the state, as a former state rep, I pay the full premium. I don't get any state subsidy in this. I pay the whole premium. I'm still getting very good coverage at a very competitive and lower rate than I would be if I were in the private market.
Right. And this is the frustration that we just talked about. Lisa and Senator Sanborn mentioned it too, that, boy, different groups of people get different bargains, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And part of that is how much negotiating power or clout you have. And that is the idea behind the health benefit exchange, that if you can pool individuals and small businesses together, and if the exchange were to choose to negotiate on behalf of them, all of a sudden they've got more similar marketing negotiating clout and market power to large businesses. And so all of a sudden they can negotiate for better rates. But, you know, I think we need to start looking at the root of the problem as well. And so cutting benefits, cutting or increasing costs like deductibles is one way. But we also have things like, as you mentioned earlier, medical costs that I don't think any of us have a good handle on. Are they reasonable and do they make sense? And also administrative spending. And those are other areas that I think, you know, maybe not in this show, but we need to start looking at how to address.
Well, and Jill, thanks for the call. We'll take more of your calls after a very short break. Let's check in now with our March membership drive.
I'm wondering if there's like an interviewing course that Virginia Prescott, Laura Kanoi, Diane Rehm have either all been to or instruct. I find them very engaging, very collaborative, much less combative or antagonistic than some of the talking heads. I try not to go out and do errands until the afternoon because I don't want to miss those ladies. They're a big part of my day.
Kate Bartlett is a listener and a contributor to NHPR from Henniker.
Good morning and welcome to NHPR's March Fund Drive. I'm Rebecca Lavoy in the studio with Brady Carlson, and we have a really exciting morning going on here. We've been given a second chance by a group of Upper Valley donors who've pulled together $5,000, which they'll only give us if we raise $20,000 by noon today. We have made some headway. We have just $6,900 left to raise for this challenge. I know we can get there. Think about how great it will be when we make it, and when we make it because of your phone call. Let's get down to the $6,000 mark during this break. You and eight friends calling at the $100 level. 1-888-805-6477. You can also make your gift online at nhpr.org.
And the clock is ticking. Our deadline on this challenge is noon today, which is getting ever closer. But I know we can make it happen. Exchange fans, it's time for you to come through. We got a great note on Facebook yesterday, Rebecca, from a listener to the Exchange who said, you know, he was talking about yesterday's show, which was like today, about an issue where people disagree. He said, it's so nice to have a program where people who disagree are sitting down together and talking about their positions on the issue. And you're hearing that again today on The Exchange. That's special. That's not something that every program can deliver, even if they hope to deliver it. Laura Knoy and The Exchange do that every single day. And they do that because they have time to explore these issues in detail, because they don't have to run advertising during the show. They don't have to run that advertising because you're there as a supporting member of New Hampshire Public Radio. So you have a vital role to play at 1-888-805-6477.
And who other than you can make the difference to keep the Exchange going strong? You are the one listening to this conversation. You are the one who values hearing these New Hampshire voices talk about New Hampshire issues that matter to you and your family, like the very important issue of health insurance. So you are the one who should support it. I am speaking to you, the Exchange listener. You don't have to worry about fans of other shows, only this show, the Exchange. So give us a call and tell us how much it means to you. Does it mean $10 a month? Does it mean $20 a month? 1-888-805-6477. You can also make your gift online at nhpr.org.
And when you make that gift, you'll be entered into the special drawing of the day. The winner gets a MacBook Pro. That is the prize. It has the fast processor. It has plenty of memory. It has a really large hard drive, long battery life. And of course, it looks great. I mean, it is an Apple product, and that's what they're known for, right? Go to nhpr.org. You can make your gift online and enter to win a MacBook Pro, or you can call and ask about it at 1-888-805-6477. But that drawing ends today. If you make your gift tomorrow, you won't be entered to win, and you don't want to miss out.
You can also give your gift at nhpr.org. Jim and Cindy Varnum, Bain and Jeannie Stevenson, Jenny and Stan Williams, Carolyn and Peter Mertz, Barbara and Dick Couch, and Michael and Barbara Gerling believe we can make this challenge. They believe that you will step up to the plate, that you will pick up the phone and call and show how much you appreciate NHPR. And when you do that, they're going to give you $5,000 of their money. Help us get that money. Help us make that phone call to them saying, hey, you owe us $5,000. Give us a call. 1-888-805-6477. You can also make your gift online at nhpr.org.
You're making success happen when you make that call, and you're showing the strength of NHPR's community of members. You know, about 40% of the operating funds that it takes to run NHPR come from members, people just like you who live in New Hampshire and say, I'm glad the Exchange is here and I want to support it directly. You can make that happen right now and put $5,000 additional dollars to work at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. And thanks so much.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Dartmouth Hitchcock, providing online health tools and podcasts for a healthier New Hampshire. Information at dartmouthhitchcock.org. And from Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, for any plumbing, heating, cooling, or drain problem, offering annual tune-ups and efficient heating systems, online at justcallheritage.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we're going to sit down with Commissioner Tom Burek, head of the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. And you can email us your questions for Commissioner Burek at nhpr.org before the program. And then join us tomorrow morning, live at 9 for that. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at a state Senate effort to allow what are called limited medical or bare-bones health insurance plans with fewer mandates as a way to rein in costs and provide more choice and coverage. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR or email us exchange@nhpr.org. My guests are State Senator Andy Sanborn, Republican from Henniker and a small business owner who's been looking at these alternative health insurance plans. Also with us, Lisa Kaplan Howe, Policy Director of New Hampshire Voices for Health. And both of you, let's go right back to our callers. And Pam's waiting in Moultonboro. Hi, Pam. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a comment and a question. First comment is I have concerns about whether reductions in coverage and therefore costs to insurance companies would actually be reflected in the premium. And the reason I say that is I've had a high deductible plan for several years. My husband and I are self-employed. We have catastrophic coverage. We pay the first $5,400 of coverage. We've never had to go above that. And we pay premiums of over $1,300 a month.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, which means that our out-of-pocket costs are $22,000 in that range per year, which is becoming unaffordable for us and I suspect is unaffordable for many people. My question has to do with the option of creating more opportunities for group plans for people who are unaffiliated, either not with an employer or self-employed like we are. My understanding is that several years ago, the legislature outlawed the ability of groups like the Chamber of Commerce or the nonprofit or association to create group plans that
sure.
could potentially lower the cost. I'd like to know more about that and whether that's an option.
Okay.
Because it is an option in other states.
Yeah, and this is real interesting and a little not quite what we're talking about today, but I do want to ask you about it. Senator Sanborn, whenever we do health care programs, no matter what the topic, we hear from self-employed people who say, look, this is just nuts for me.
It's more than we can
bear.
Truly more than we can bear. And to answer the caller's question, we talk about pooling because a lot of it, again, comes down to that pooling issue. And there are some pooling initiatives that have happened. We actually passed a law to create what we call purchasing alliances. Now, in order to say we don't want that adverse selection, less people falling out of the pool, specifically, there's been a limit from the Department of Insurance that says you can have no pool of less than 3,000 people. So provided you can find a pool and gather 3,000 belly buttons, I mean, not individual payers, but we're talking about belly buttons here, then you can create your own pool, which again brings me back to my policy of if we're concerned about adverse selection, if we're concerned about the pool getting smaller and therefore costs getting higher, we have our own Department of Insurance that says, look, as long as the pool has more than 3,000 people in it, we don't think adverse selection will be an issue, which to me gives more credence back to having a multitude of plans, having the capacity in a cafeteria style to buy the Cadillac or to buy the Pinto. As long as we get 3,000 people, there should be, because we have proven that through legislation and the DOI, some rate stability to it. But there's no question, there continues to be a real big difference between big groups of people and small groups. We have 5 B companies in New Hampshire, which are, again, our municipalities that have come together and made their own pooling. Now, we had testimony, in fact, yesterday, that these pools themselves, even within the pools, because they have small towns like, towns I represent like Salisbury and Webster that don't have 50 employees, they are paying 38% more in premiums than the big towns like Manchester.
Wow. So are they pooling or aren't they then?
Well, that was part of our discussion. To me as a business owner, I say, wait a second, I believe we should be pooling and that these 5B organizations, and again, this might be a conversation for another day to talk about the 5Bs, but if you're supposed to be pooling, it should be pooling and it's actually not happening.
Lisa.
And I just want to draw back to the first point that Pam made, and Alex alluded to it in his comments as well. Unfortunately, what we're seeing related to the limited benefit plans in other states, because we do have a lot of information and evidence from other states, but even within our state in New Hampshire, you see skinnier plans, the premiums go down a little bit and the value goes way down. So part of the concern is people are still paying a significant amount of money and now they're getting far less value for each of those dollars that they're paying in. And is that a good investment for people?
So when you say value, what do you mean?
How much of their health care costs are going to be covered, whether it be because their deductibles are going way up, which is something we see often in New Hampshire, or whether it be because they're facing more and more gaps in coverage. All of a sudden, each of those dollars is getting them far less in return.
Yeah. And so that, you're saying, is what Pam is saying. Look, I'm already paying a lot and not getting a lot for it. What do you think, Senator Sanborn?
It's clearly showing that we have reached the end of the road in how much money people can pay for insurance, be it $1,300 a month like Pam plus a $5,400 deductible or, you know, in my case, a $10,000 deductible. We're done. I mean, we truly are at the end of that road and need to find a way to make it more affordable. This is just one small opportunity that we have. Because you have to remember, my same health insurance policy in Kentucky costs half as much as it costs in New Hampshire. So the conversation of mandates. Yeah, so the conversation of mandates only costing 5%. I'm not sure that I buy into that because if I was living in Kentucky, it would be half the amount of money. So many things to look at. But we can't not do anything anymore. We can't just talk about it. We need to start trying to create some sort of an ability to find lower cost insurance. And obviously, I've got one attempt at that, which is, you know, being able to buy the Pinto as long as the Cadillac still sits on the lot. There are many other things we can spend weeks, as you know, talking about insurance. I mean, remember, $5.5 billion a year just in New Hampshire for health care. It is the largest amount of money, the largest industry we have today.
You know, one last big question for all of you, and then we'll wrap up. And Lisa, to you first. As 2014 approaches, unless President Obama's new health care law is overturned in the courts, and that's certainly a big question, but if this continues by 2014, we all are supposed to have health insurance, just like Massachusetts. You have to carry it or you pay a penalty. How much, Lisa, might these limited medical plans that Senator Sanborn is putting forward, how much would that help people meet that mandate, which is coming?
I think there are a lot of tools both in the Affordable Care Act but elsewhere in the state to help people. But I absolutely agree that we can't stop and we need to keep searching for solutions. We have things like small business tax credits now, and in 2014 we'll have individual tax credits to help people, but also broader tools. You know, and it ties back to something that Senator Sanborn said about Kentucky versus New Hampshire. Well, I'm sure if you compared health care costs, so not health insurance, but health care costs, there you'd see a very similar variation. And so part of what we need to do is get deeper into the root of the problem. And that's something that is happening here in our state, but also nationwide through the Affordable Care Act. And we need to look at, number one, are health care rates reasonable? But number two, why are we paying for volume of care? We should be paying based on outcomes and value of care.
This is the global payment systems that everybody's talking about.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's only so much you can do with health insurance premiums if you're not getting at the big chunk of the problem that has to do with the cost of health care.
So look underneath.
Yes. Look further underneath. And that's, you know, again, it's work that's been going on in New Hampshire for quite some time through the Citizens Health Initiative. And we have things like medical homes and accountable care organizations. And fortunately, through the Affordable Care Act, there's now more support for states to do those innovative solutions and more testing of the solutions to figure out how we can really get at the root of the problem. Because it's a problem now. It's certainly going to be a problem in 2014 when everyone needs to buy in. But even I think everybody wants to buy in. So we need to find a way to allow them to buy in, whether they have to or don't have to.
And Senator Sanborn, what's next for this proposal that you've been putting forward limited benefit medical
plans? If I can just back up to Lisa's point real quick. I mean, again, we all want everyone to have the opportunity for health care. And just like 2014 coming in, the number one question we need to continue to ask is, where is the money coming from? We're talking about putting millions upon millions of people who don't have any insurance, giving them free insurance, and nothing is free, as we know. The money's got to come from somewhere, and we continue to hear from your listeners and the community that they're paying all they can pay. So we need to find a way to truly drive down the cost of insurance, which means expanding the pool. Specifically on this legislation, as the bill was introduced, it definitely had some real problems, and none of us could support it. So we made a decision in the Senate to kill that. So we never actually took a vote on the amendment.
And the amendment, again, is for these mini medical plans.
Yeah, the amendment is actually to allow for this new plan, provided you also continue to offer a plan with all the mandates. So it's truly trying to thread the needle and make all the stakeholders happy. So we have the ability to try and either do a floor amendment in the Senate or find another piece of legislation and put it on that or bring it over to the House. So there are a lot of other opportunities. We're looking at all of them. We're discussing all of them. You know, we're trying to work with all the stakeholders to see if, again, at the end of the day, more lower cost insurance.
All right. Well, both of you, thank you very much for being here. Senator Sanborn, thanks for taking the time.
As always, thanks so much for having me.
And Lisa Kaplan Howe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's take a minute and check in real quickly with our March membership drive.
Thank you so much, Laura. This has been an exciting morning so far during our March Fun Drive. I'm Brady Carlson, by the way, here with Rebecca Lavoie. And the way you can make a gift and help support our challenge today is 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. We're looking to raise $20,000 by noon. That's just now 2 hours away. Just $6,800 left to go, though. So a really, really strong morning. But now it's time to close the deal, as they say, and wrap it up because there's $5,000 additional dollars to put to work for the exchange. You can help put that to work with your gift right now.
At 1-888-805-6477. And just a quick reminder, when you do call, you will be entered to win our drawing of the day, a brand new MacBook Pro. You know, today's program on the exchange is just one example of the topics that this program explores. I know that in the mornings when we're prepping for word of mouth, I often put on my headphones just so I can hear some of these important conversations, like the recent programs on super PACs or the exploration of 10 years of No Child Left Behind. These are topics that connect with your life as a resident of New Hampshire, and they're conversations that give you an opportunity to weigh in with your thoughts and questions. That's why you listen. That is why you value this program. So how about showing us how much you value it? Put a number on it. How about a $100 donation? Give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
Think about how much has changed since the exchange first went on the air. Back then, the producers were faxing research requests to a local law firm, which would then look up the information and fax it back because there was no web access. Now, here in 2012, we hear Laura Kanoy sharing comments from listeners from Facebook. So, yeah, things have changed just a little bit. But you know one thing that hasn't changed. Actually, I can think of two. One is, you know, the exchange is going to be there bringing you compelling conversations about New Hampshire every single weekday. The second is that it's listener supported. Your gift directly supports what you hear every day on the exchange. When you make that gift, you can go to nhpr.org. I suppose you could fax it in if you wanted, but I don't think it's a good idea. You should call, though, 1-888-805-6477.
Thinking about how much the exchange is worth to you, I don't know. How about a dollar a day?
There you go.
Well, while $365 as a donation may seem like a big hunk just at the outset, when you break it down to a dollar a day, think about what you're getting for that $1 in terms of what New Hampshire Public Radio gives you. All the great news, all the great programs, opportunities to weigh in, be a part of really important conversations. You probably use a lot of other services or buy a lot of other products that cost you a lot more than a dollar a day. And